Amen. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just give you thanks and praise. And what a wondrous sight it must have been, you coming to this earth. And Father, just thank you so much, Lord, that you loved us enough to leave your throne room of heaven, God, to come down and to love us. And Father, to live here and to die here and to be raised again. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to have you here this evening. And thank you, Philip and Jill, for leading us in worship. What a wonderful time of year it is that we get to be blessed with all these wonderful Christmas songs. I know we all love them so much. Can't get enough of them, especially in the house and in the car, everywhere we go. Christmas songs everywhere. Amen. So grateful and thankful that we do have the ability to worship God freely in this country today. John chapter 3 is where we're going to be tonight. I'm going to try to be brief. I know I always say that, but I'm really going to do my best tonight so that we have time to discuss the business that Spence wants to bring up afterwards. And I hope that, just in opening, that everybody here does remember that the reason for Christmas is Jesus. We wouldn't have a Christmas without Jesus. The best gift that we could ever receive is Jesus. And if you're looking to this season for gifts and for just for a good time or for a party, then you're looking at the wrong thing. This season is for the glorification of God when He sent His Son to pay the price that you and I were never going to be able to pay. What a glorious gift that was. And thank you. Thanks be to God for all that. This evening, this is a common passage that we're going to cover the first 15 verses of John chapter 3. And I was really getting nervous when Spence mentioned the conversation with Nicodemus and Jesus, because that's what I'm preaching on tonight. I thought he was encroaching on my text, but I guess it's all of our text, and I'll let him if he feels it necessary. But it's a really common passage that we probably are all pretty familiar with, the story of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. And I just wanted to take a look at it with you guys from just a couple different perspectives. Maybe look at four or five different things that I pulled out of the text that I saw happening as I read through and I studied this text. And just wanted to end up and wrap up with what it means for us today. What kind of application do we use in our life today in light of what Nicodemus and Jesus were talking about on that fateful evening? So I'm going to go ahead and go to the text, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Pray with me, if you will, as we go into God's Word. Father, what a blessing it is that you've left us your written record, your Word, for us to follow, your direction, your guide book, your lovely grace poured out on each and every page of the Scripture, God. What a wonderful blessing it is that you've given that to us. I pray, Lord, that you help us to be faithful, to rightly divide your Word, and to use it as a guide stone for us, and use it, Lord, in our lives, that we might become followers of you and only you in all that we do. Lord, we love you and praise you and ask that you bless this time. In the holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. The Word of God says, in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus was searching. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night looking for answers to a question that he hasn't yet laid out. He hasn't yet proposed to Jesus. The question hasn't been given yet. But Nicodemus was obviously coming to Jesus looking for something, looking for an answer to something, looking for guidance or direction maybe in something. He needed something that he knew he didn't have. And as a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, a man in high standing in the community around him, that's not something that he was used to feeling. It's not something that he was used to having on his heart. Like a lot of us, in the time that we, the days and the hours leading up to the moment of our conversion, we realized we needed something, and there's something missing. There was a blank spot, a void that nothing we chased in this world was able to fill. And I think that's where Nicodemus was when he came to Jesus in the night, asking this question. If you think about it, why would Nicodemus have come out at night to talk to Jesus? Why? Why is it that Nicodemus didn't catch Jesus in the temple or catch Jesus out on the street in the daytime when normal people had conversations? Why did Nicodemus wait till the night to go talk to Jesus? Because it wasn't in high favor amongst the people that followed Nicodemus as a ruler of the Jews to be speaking to Jesus, the leader of the Christians. He wasn't supposed to be seen talking to Jesus, but he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus had some answers for him, and he had a question to pose. And Jesus was there waiting to hear from Nicodemus. We've got to give Nicodemus a little bit of credit here in that he was willing to leave the comfort of his position, the standing that he had, and risk what he had for an answer to a question that he wasn't even positive Jesus knew the answer to, but he thought Jesus might be the way to what he was seeking. So I think we need to give Jesus or Nicodemus a little bit of credit for the fact that he came out. But he did come out in the night, kind of in the dark, in the cover of the night, so that his people, the people that he knew, would have been either at dinner or maybe in bed. And Nicodemus came out when he was least likely to be seen speaking with Jesus. How many of us today are willing to talk about Jesus when we're least likely to be seen talking about Jesus? How many of us today are willing to ask questions of Jesus when we're least likely to be seen asking questions of Jesus? Nicodemus was that person, and I think a lot of us in here might be that person today. Nicodemus, in these first two verses, made an acknowledgement. He made a profession, if you will. He made a statement that leads us to believe that Nicodemus was clued in to who Jesus was. Nicodemus knew that Jesus at least had the power of God resting upon him, at least had some authority given him by God because of what was going on. That can tell us very simply, and if you struggle with faith, or if you struggle with thinking that Jesus is who he said he is, this passage should clear that up right quick, because Nicodemus would have been the last person that would want to admit that to Jesus, yet he was there to admit to Jesus, only God can do the things that you have accomplished in your ministry. Only God can do the things that you've done while you were here. So, Jesus, I feel like you might have the answers that I'm searching for. Please, please show me these answers. That was, in my opinion, the first step of Nicodemus, and the first step for all of us when we come to Christ. We have to acknowledge Christ is who he says he is. Now, Nicodemus didn't openly say, "Christ, you're the Son of God." He didn't profess that right there. But he was right on the verge. He was right on the cusp of saying, "Okay, Jesus, I believe you're who you say you are." He was right there on the cusp, right there, just leaning over the edge, waiting for the answer that he sought. We've got to note that Nicodemus here was not without opposition in his life. You see, the fact that he's waited until he knew where Jesus... He's really probably cased this deal out, you know. He knows where Jesus is going to be. He knows where he's camping, or he knows where he's staying. He knows when he can get there, when nobody's going to see him. He knows how to approach Jesus when he gets there. Nicodemus didn't struggle with the journey. We have to believe that Nicodemus kind of was working on this thing and cased it out beforehand so that nobody was going to catch him going in case he didn't get the answers that he wanted, maybe. But at the end of the day, Nicodemus valued that contact with Jesus more than he valued his position in this world. Nicodemus was searching. Nicodemus was searching. Ladies and gentlemen, today, if you're not searching, than you once were. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, there's there's a multitude of people outside these doors that are searching for something and that are pursuing things in this world that are never going to give them what they're searching for. They're never going to be filled with the peace and the love and the joy that we know as Christians unless we can take that message to them. That's the plan that God made for us. There's no plan B. Plan A is good enough. All we need to do is follow it. All we need to do is follow it. Nicodemus was searching. So were you and I at one point. And so are so many people out there today. In verse 3, before there was a question asked, Jesus answered. Verse 3, Jesus answered him. These words are in red in my Bible. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it definitely means something to me. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless, it's a new Bible, the pages stick together, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that seems like an odd answer to the question, to the statement that Nicodemus has posed. You see, Nicodemus had just said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. Now, Nicodemus didn't ask that question, but that was the question that Nicodemus came to get answered. Jesus was definite here in verse 3. Jesus was positive and assertive and definite in what he spoke to Nicodemus. There's been so many times in my life that people have come up to me with just a hint of a theological question to come at me with. Just a hint of a maybe a little play the stump the chump game on the Bible thumper at work. Just a little bit of hint of theology they come at me with. And rather than answer like Jesus said, look, unless you're born again, you're never going to see heaven. Rather than answer like that, I try to give them my wisdom and my knowledge and let them know they're not going to stump me. I read my Bible. I know what it says. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus didn't get into some deep theological debate with Nicodemus over why the Jews were doing it wrong and why the Pharisees had it all mixed up and why legalism's never going to get you anywhere. No, Jesus said simply to Nicodemus in one definite statement, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't even need a formal question phrased to him. He already knew what Nicodemus wanted. He already knew what you and I wanted. When we had that yearning in our spirit, when we had that draw from God put upon us, when we were placed in a position where we knew we needed something and didn't know where to find it, Jesus knew that about you and I, and he knew it about Nicodemus. Jesus' omniscience here points directly to his deity. I believe that Nicodemus realized that in that moment. Personally, how could you not? He just simply walks up and says, yo, I know that God has put his power on you. And Jesus says, you want to see heaven, be born again. And Nick's like, whoa, what's up? How'd you know? Well, wait a minute. Maybe you are who you said you are. Jesus was definite in his answer in verse 3. He didn't waste time or mince words. He cut straight to the point. It's a practice that we might, as Christians, take note of. Someone's searching. Listen to this. If you don't take anything else away, listen to this. When someone is searching for Christ, they don't need you and I to fluff up and sugarcoat the answer. Just give them the answer. All they need is the truth, and the truth is right here in the Word of God. The truth will set them free, just like it set you and I free from slavery to sin, from bondage to Satan, from pursuit of this world. That truth will set them free, and they don't need you and I to make it look better for them. We don't need to butter it up. Look, the gospel is beautiful in its simplicity. Unless you're born again, you're not going to see heaven. Well, what does that mean? Nicodemus was stumped. Nicodemus was stumped. You see, the simplicity of the answer that Jesus gave, even though we can look at it today and say, but that's so easy, Nicodemus, what do you mean? You don't get it. The beautiful thing about the gospel is it leaves people wanting more of the gospel.
That's right.
It leaves people wanting more of Jesus. And guess what? When we share the beautiful simplicity, the way that God laid it out, it gives us opportunity to share more and more and more and more. And there's a process that many of us in the church ignore today that's called discipleship. That many of us just push off to the side and say, that's not for me, that's not what I'm called to. But that's not what Jesus shows us. Jesus shows us that when you give the answer to the question, when you give the beautiful, simple truth, it leads you into the opportunity to share and to help people grow in their depth and their knowledge and their love for Christ. Nicodemus was stumped. Verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, Nicodemus had some trouble understanding the spiritual birth that Jesus was speaking about. Spence quoted a verse this morning. I don't remember exactly which verse it was, but something to the effect of the normal man or the earthly man can't discern spiritual things. Nicodemus was stuck right there. Because they're discerned through spirituality. They're discerned through the Bible. They're discerned through your relationship with God. And if you're not of God, then you don't understand the things of God. So Nicodemus was stumped, just like you and I were probably stumped many times in our lives when we were trying to figure out what this gospel was. When we were trying to figure out what God wanted from us. Nicodemus was stumped because he didn't know how to discern spiritual things. Men, even Christians, men and women today, we tend to think carnally in all of the answers and all the questions that are posed to us, rather than to think spiritually. This was a ridiculous question that Nicodemus asked Jesus. Lord, no, you don't get back into your mother's womb and be born again. Nicodemus knew that it was a ridiculous answer to Jesus' answer, but he asked it, he said it anyways. He said, what am I supposed to do? How can I be born again? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Well, no, Nicodemus. There's obviously another answer here. There's obviously a better answer here. I think most of us would answer that question probably a little condescendingly, or maybe with just a little bit of sarcasm. But that's not what Jesus did. We think carnally, we answer questions carnally, and we look at answers from Scripture carnally because we're of this world. Jesus speaks spiritually because His kingdom's not of this world. We don't speak on His level, and we don't ask questions on His level. But rather than try to drag Christ down to where we are, maybe we should just adjust our perspective and try to look at things from where Christ is. Maybe we should adjust the way we look at the answer rather than try to make the answer fit us. Nicodemus was trying to make the answer fit him. How often do we try to make that answer fit us? It's not that we can't understand spiritual things, folks. It's just that it requires some insight. It requires some effort. It requires some participation. It requires some humility. It requires us to acquiesce to God's authority in our lives rather than subject the world to our authority. It's hard to give up your authority over your own life. It's hard to do that. I know. The reason that people try to climb the corporate ladder is because they don't want people having authority over them. They want to be the boss. The reason that we all pursue greater and higher things is because we internally, at the end of the day, we don't want to answer to anybody. listen, we're never going to get it. We're never going to get to where Christ wants us to be. We're never going to be in the pursuit or in the path, in the place that Christ has chosen for us until we can, as people, humble ourselves before Christ and say, I submit to your authority completely and 100% without any reservation. Sometimes we need to submit to other people in our lives just to show us, just to kind of teach us a little bit about what it feels like. Sometimes, and nobody wants to do that, do we? I have to submit to many people. I have bosses, I have people around me that expect things out of me. To submit to my parents' authority even when I don't want to. Mama says and I do it. Is that how it works? But when it comes to God and His authority in our lives, why do we find it easier to say, I'll obey Mama, than to say, I'll obey God? Because let me tell you something. Sometimes Mama's wrong. Don't tell her I said that. But sometimes Mama's wrong. God never is. He's never going to lead you somewhere you don't need to be. He's never going to take you down a path that you don't need to go on. Nicodemus was stumped by Jesus' answer because Jesus' answer was more than he could understand. But listen, he wasn't afraid to show his ignorance. He asked a dumb question. Look, folks, sometimes it takes that. Sometimes we have to ask a dumb question. There was a time, I know some of you young people in here are going to find this hard to believe, but there was a time before everybody had a cell phone that had navigation on it in their possession. There was a time that you actually had to have what's called a Rand McNally map, and you could map out your course and figure out where you were going to go. I did that a lot of times growing up. I did that a lot of times in my young adult life as I was traveling around the country. Use this Rand McNally map. The problem is, these are only updated so often, they're not always correct. There's road changes and there's exit changes and all kinds of things happen with these maps that aren't updated like your cell phone is now. Don't get me wrong. I use my navigation on my... I would be in bad shape without the navigation on my cell phone now. But then, that wasn't an option. If you were really wealthy, you could buy one of those Garmins or a TomTom, and you could have a really, really outdated map on that. But I would oftentimes find myself in a pickle, traipsing across the country and be in Terre Haute, Indiana, somewhere, looking around, trying to find my way back to the interstate. And I would drive for 2 hours, never finding my way back to where I needed to go, until I'd finally say, I got to get gas anyways. I'll ask somebody here. When I passed that gas station about 13 times already, looking for where I'm at, I knew my way back to that gas station. Listen, folks, sometimes we just need to ask directions. Amen. Sometimes we just need to ask a dumb question. All right, God, where do you want me to be? What am I supposed to be doing today? Sometimes we just need to humble ourselves and ask that question, God, what are my directions? Don't drive around for 2 hours waiting to run out of gas and being at the point of physical exhaustion and emotional exhaustion and being in such a downtrodden state that you can't dig any further. Don't wait until then to ask God for directions. It's such a waste of time. God has the answers. They're there all along. All we need to do is seek it. And that's what Nicodemus did. He said, well, I don't understand, Jesus. I can't get back in my mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus answers him gracefully, very descriptively. If we look at verses 5 through 9, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus didn't berate Nicodemus. He didn't say, "What a dumb thing to say, Nicodemus." You know, when I stopped at that gas station, that guy didn't have a problem with giving me the answer. And I was at the interstate in about 15 minutes. Jesus didn't push Nicodemus back when he asked the question. And God is waiting for you to ask the questions of Him that you don't understand. God is waiting for you and I to humble ourselves before Him and ask Him the things that we struggle with, the things that we have difficulty handling. If you're struggling in your faith for any reason, God can show you the answer to your questions. The Scriptures will show you the answers to your questions when you bathe them in prayer and when you bathe them in supplication. And maybe, oh no, we can't say this word. Maybe you should fast a little while. Amen. And take a listen to what God has to say. Maybe, just maybe, God has the answers we're looking for. Maybe we just don't ask the questions. Jesus showed Nicodemus that they were thinking on two different planes. Jesus didn't need to adjust his answer. Nicodemus needed to adjust his perspective. Jesus never answers wrong. Sometimes we're just a little too dense to get it. But you know what? He's willing to explain it for us. He's willing to show it to us. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes it takes longer than 5 minutes of reading to get it. Sometimes it takes reading and reading and reading and research and more reading and prayer and more prayer and time. Bathe in meditation and bathe in prayer. Bathe in begging the Holy Spirit to reveal what God has for you out of a text. Not just glossing over it or listening to it on your radio or whatever you call your daily devotional time. Not just a precursory reading of the Word, but a time set apart with God. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night when he knew that he could get there, when he knew within reason he wasn't going to be interrupted, and when he knew he could get the answers that he sought. When you go to the Word of God, when you come to church, when you reach a point where you want to worship, what is your goal in worship? What is your goal when you sit down for your quiet time? Or do you even have one? Do you ask questions of God? It's okay to ask questions of God. He's willing to answer them. Or do you just say, "Well, I don't get that. I'm going to move on." I'll be honest, I've done that a few times. Jesus let Nicodemus know that his complete understanding of what was going on wasn't necessary. That's another thing that we have a problem with today. We cannot fathom the greatness and the majesty of God. And as long as we keep trying, we're always going to struggle. What we need to know is that God provides you and I with a gift, another gift on top of grace that's called faith.
That's right.
And that gift that God provides you with means you can take what God says on His Word and you don't need to know everything about it. Listen, that's one thing that I really struggle with. I yearn to know how things work, what makes things tick. I've taken things apart and put them together so many times I can't count. One of the things that drives me is understanding how things work. But when I come to a passage that I don't fully understand out of God's Word, but I do know what the truth says, if I've exhausted all my options and just come to the point where God just tells me, "Look, JD, you don't need to understand fully. You just need to obey the truth that I've laid out for you." I can do that by faith. Because that's a gift that God gave me. By faith. Jesus was very descriptive in his answer to Nicodemus, but he said, look, there's things just as simple as the wind that I created that you've been around your entire life and you still haven't figured it out. The wind is pretty simple, Nicodemus. You ain't figured that out. Stop trying to figure this out. It's the truth. It's the answer that you seek. Take it with this gift of faith that I'm going to give you. Nicodemus, still stumped, started pressing his luck. In verse 9, he just basically says to Jesus, look, I need to know the nitty-gritty. I need to know what you're telling me down to the mechanics of what you're telling me so that I can accept it. And Jesus told him, don't worry about the minutia here, Nicodemus. I got that covered. All you need to worry about is the truth that I've given you. How often is that our reaction? How often do we answer Jesus when He calls us, maybe to go on a mission trip, or maybe to give, or maybe to surrender to a ministry? How often do we answer Jesus with, all right, I'm happy to do that, God. You just tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do next. You give me every single step along the way, and you give me exactly what it's going to look like, where I'm going to start, every step along the way, and where I'm going to end, and how it's going to affect me, and then I'll be obedient. Jesus, tell me, fill in all the blanks for me so that I can follow you in faith. That's not what faith is, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Faith is follow me, like Matthew did. See, Matthew didn't ask Jesus to fill in the blanks. Matthew didn't ask Jesus if he was going to get to come back to his comfortable, cushy job. Matthew didn't ask Jesus if his tax collector booth was his recliner and his palm branch fan was going to be there when he got back. Matthew got up and followed Jesus because he received that gift of faith. Let me tell you all something here today. Each and every one of us in this room have the gift of faith. Ready and waiting for the taking. All you got to do is take it. Just take it. Take that faith. And then guess what? You don't worry about what the consequences of the actions Jesus calls you to are because they don't matter. You don't worry about the consequences of where Jesus leads you is because it doesn't matter. Because Jesus is still there on the other side of those consequences. His truth, His love, His grace, and His faith are still waiting for you when you get there. But Nicodemus tempted fate here in verse 9. He said to him, what's up with that? How can these things be? Well, Jesus was demanding in verses 10 through 15. You see, Jesus was justified in unloading on Nicodemus at this point. Nicodemus had tried his patience. You ever tried the patience of your parents? After time and time and time again? You ever been told that's enough, but you kept on? Well, that's what happened here. Nicodemus, how is that going to work, Jesus? I don't get it. So then Jesus answered him. Nicodemus did pose a question here, and Jesus answered it. Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, and you don't believe them, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. Jesus answered the question just as clearly as it could possibly be answered, and he gave Nicodemus a little bit of scorn at the beginning. He said, you need to listen, boy. You're not listening. You should know this. And why am I teaching you this? You're a Pharisee. You're a leader in the religion of the Jews, my people. I've been telling you this for thousands of years. For 3,000 years, I've been telling you this, and you haven't listened yet. I told you not to worry about the minutia. I told you not to worry about the details. Now I'm going to give it to you as clearly and bluntly as possible. Nicodemus, if you don't understand the simple things, how are you going to understand the godly things? Just take on faith what I say to you, and we'll get down to this when it's time. Jesus was justified here. If we're really searching for answers, why do we demand that those answers be given on our terms? You see, that's what Nicodemus was doing here. He wanted these answers from Jesus. He had already gotten the answer from Jesus, but he didn't really like them because it wasn't what he was teaching. That's what I feel like happened here. He said, well, I've been teaching this different for all this time. Jesus, can you really explain this to me? Because I don't really like that answer a lot. We ask for answers, but we don't receive them unless they're given to us on our terms. That's not the way God works. God doesn't work on your terms. He doesn't work on my terms. God works on His terms. And He determines every breath you take, every step you make. God is sovereign over every decision in your life. Many of us, I'm afraid, we're in the same boat as Nicodemus here. We should be teaching the truth about Jesus. Boldly and readily, up front, with all faith and love for Christ. But we've got either too much trouble accepting the truth ourselves or understanding the truth to be willing to teach the truth. And that's a sad, sad testimony for the church today. Jesus doesn't make any apologies about His truth. Jesus doesn't fluff it up and butter it up. He doesn't make any apologies for Nicodemus' lack of faith. He just lays it out and lets Nicodemus make his own decision. Look, Nicodemus, I've already told you the truth. I've told you not to worry about the small details. I've told you to have faith in what I say. Now it's time for you to listen, boy. Here's how it works. I'm paying the price. You get the gift. And that's what Jesus tells him. Nicodemus, no doubt, is shocked. We'll finish this conversation the next time I have an opportunity to preach, but there's a lot more in it. There's a lot to unpack in the next part. Jesus points Nicodemus straight to the cross. Jesus has been pointing to the cross since Adam in the garden didn't stop Eve from eating that apple. And then he took it and ate it himself. Jesus has been pointing to the cross ever since then. Jesus pointed Adam and Eve to the cross that day. Nick may not have understood it completely what Jesus was doing there. But I got a good mind to think when Jesus ascended there in the book of Acts and when all those people were standing around and the angel said, what are you looking up there for? You got stuff to do. I think Nicodemus must have got it then. He probably figured out what Jesus was talking about. He had a pretty good idea. And if he wasn't saved that night, I'm pretty sure he was a little bit later. It's not our job to convince people of the truth. Jesus didn't even try to convince Nicodemus of the truth. Jesus told Nicodemus the truth. It's first our job to believe the truth of Scripture. Do you believe the truth of Scripture today? Amen. Do you believe in your heart that this book, these words from God, according to 2 Timothy, this written word of God, do you believe today in your heart that this is the truth? Amen. That's our first responsibility. Believe this is truth. And secondly, to tell the truth as it's revealed to us in Scripture. That's all we have to do. Spence talked about what the Bible calls us to. Where am I supposed to go, God? What am I supposed to do, God? Tell the truth. It'll get you where you're supposed to be. It'll take you where you need to go. Tell the truth. Every chance you get. Every opportunity that you have, when someone has a far out question about the Bible, tell the truth. When someone comes up to you and says, how's your day going? By the grace of God and with the help of Jesus, it's going great. Tell the truth. I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you're sad, if you're upset. If you're a Christian today, you always have joy in your heart. And if you can't accept that as truth, there's a problem. Because that's what the Word of God says. Paul said, today's theme for the students and I have been a verse out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Where Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For you today to live is Christ. Is that a truth for you today? Is to live Christ for you today? Because if it is, then you can share this truth from His perspective. You can look through the lens that the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you gives you to look through and say, this is the truth of God. I don't make any apology for it. I'm not sorry for it. I'm glad for it because it's a gift given to me. And now I want to share it with you.
Amen.
Do you live for Christ today? Can you say today, wholeheartedly, without any inhibition or any doubts, to die is gain? There's two people in this story. There is a prospective future saint, and there's God of the universe. You see, if today you're a saint of Christ, then you have the perspective of Christ in this story, and you can tell the truth just like He did. Is that what you do when you have the opportunity? But if you're not a saint of Christ today and you're seeking and you're looking for those answers, don't wait. Don't drive around for the rest of your life waiting for the right gas station. It's right here. It's tonight. There's someone here that can answer your questions. There's someone here that's willing to lead you in the direction that you need to go. There's someone here that'll tell you the truth. And if you can't find them, you can come see me. Come see me first. I'm happy to tell you the answer. Who are you today? Listen, there's one of two options. You're either lost looking for answers, or you're a saint of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. So from the perspective of Christ, you can share the truth. Which one of those two are you? Which one are you? Those are your options. That's it. Spelled out from the Word of God tonight. Which one are you? Thank you guys all so much for being here. I appreciate your time and your attention. Nobody even fell asleep, so at least that I saw. So I appreciate that. Thank you guys. I'm going to turn it over to Spence, who will open us up with a word of prayer to a business meeting. Thank you.